You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
Call your attention to this familiar passage of scripture, the 133rd number of the psalm. The 133rd number of the psalm. I'll give you a chance to find it. 133rd number of the psalm. When you have landed on it, say amen. Now, I still hear pages turning, so if you're not there, say, just a minute, preacher. We found out in the book of Acts that some strange and powerful things happen when we can all get on one accord. Psalm 133, I want to start reading at verse number 1, and a couple of the following verses. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil or ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment." Y'all see it? "As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commandeth the blessing, even life forevermore." Peterson's translation of the text says, how wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters can get along. It is like costly oil, anointing oil, flowing down the head and beard of Aaron, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing and ordains eternal life. I just want to preach a little sermon this morning entitled, "There is Power in Unity." There is power in unity. God, again, we thank you for this moment in time you've allowed us to gather together in the midst of your presence. We ask now that you would do what we cannot do, say what we cannot say, move and become the preacher in this place. Hide now your servant behind the cross. Let men, women, boys, and girls witness yet arisen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and sisters, the book of Psalm is one of the most unique collections of writing ever known to man, spanning several writers and several generations and even several locations. The book of Psalm, if you will, is one of those books of songs and poetry, poems and hymns that takes the thoughts, that takes the prayers, that takes the emotion, that takes the cries and even the petitions of the writers and the people and places them in the ear of an almighty God. Starting all the way back from Moses, making the way through Hezekiah, the sons of Korah, even our friend King David, these psalms are a blessed collection of writing that allows the reader and the hearer to hear, know, and understand that there is nothing that God can't handle. You do know that the Psalms captures every bit of human emotion, the ups and the downs, the happy times, the sad times, the true and troubling times, the terrifying times, the turbulent times, but yet the joyful times, the happy times, the singing times, the shouting times are all captured in the Psalm. These unique writings are powerful because the Psalms manages to capture the emotions of the writer and places them in a manner that not only God can hear it, but those who read it can understand and sympathize with it. Let me just kind of make this thing make sense to you, because all of us have been in a place that we did not know how we were going to make it out of. All of us have been been through some things that we were not sure if we were going to ever see the daylight. But watch it. The songwriter said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy was indeed to come in the morning. Y'all looking at me funny. Some of us were struggling trying to navigate our way through life when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," which means that he leads us and guides us. Watch it. He said, "And I shall not want." That lets us know that not only does God lead and guide us, but he makes sure our needs and wants are taken care of. The Psalms are peculiar writing. They're peculiar yet powerful because they capture, again, the highs and the lows. It captures David glorifying God, and then it captures David asking God for forgiveness. Y'all in here? It talks about David thanking God for being so good to him. Psalm 27, he says stuff like, "The Lord got me covered. I ain't got nothing to be afraid of, nobody to fear." But then in Psalm 51, he'll turn around and say, "Create within me a clean heart and restore the right spirit within me." It is the Psalms that we find ourselves nestled in text that shows us that the God we serve is real. Not only is he real, but he is right and relevant in our lives. I love by the time we get to this song, because you know Psalms 120 through 134 are known as a psalm of degrees, meaning they are written in various degrees of emotion and well-being. And around Psalm 120 there is a pilgrim traveler who takes up the pen and paper, and he starts talking about some things that he are going through, and he talks about how he is journeying through from one place to another, and the attacks of the enemies are ever present. And he is glad because it does not matter what he goes through, the Lord is there to protect him through it. He talks about suffering much scrutiny and persecution from the natives of the land that him and the people are traveling through, trying to make their way back home. And watch it, despite the persecution, the Lord still brought them through. Can we just pause parenthetically in the text to remind all of us that we will go through? I gotta say it, because some folk believe once we give the preacher our hand and give God our heart, that means the devil leaves us alone. But can I tell you, the closer that you get to God, the closer the devil gets to you. As long as you're sitting there doing nothing, you ain't getting into worship, you ain't clapping, you ain't talking to your neighbor, you ain't singing, you just sitting there with your arms folded, with your head nodded, you right where the devil wants you to be. But the moment that you decide to give your life to Christ, the moment that you decide to get active in the church, y'all looking at me funny in here, the moment that you decide you're not going to be a pew member, but you're going to be a participator, that's when the devil decides it's time for him to get active. But the writer shows us, despite what the enemy throws our way, the God that we serve has kept us, sustained us, blessed us, covered it. Y'all gonna make me preach to myself. The God that we serve is able to cover us. I mean, listen, is there anybody in the building? I know I'm not by myself. The devil done tried to bother you all week long. They done bothered you on your job. Your kids done got on your nerves. Your spouse done made you want to slap him and slap her. Your side chick make you want to leave her. Y'all looking at me funny. And listen, when you were about to throw in the towel, the Lord steps. Anybody in here but me? Anybody had a moment this week? I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about 24 hours ago, when you were just about to drink yourself into a stupor, smoke yourself into a coma, but God stepped in and reminded you all you had to do was call upon him. This writer lets us know that we will indeed go through dark times, doom and despair. Trials and tribulations are a part of the Christian journey. But he reminds us, Tito, that despite what we go through, the Lord is walking with us. Can I just say this real quickly and move on in preaching? You do know some of the things that we go through, the Lord sets it up for us to go through. Why y'all looking at me strange? You do know every obstacle ain't one that you set up or your backstabbing buddy set up. But some of the things that we go through, the Lord sets up.
You don't believe me? Read the book of Job. Job was living his life, loving his family, paying his tithes, serving the Lord. He was an upright and righteous man. But the Bible says that the devil was looking for somebody to bother. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Can I tell you something in here? You do know some of the stuff that you may be going through is because the Lord is considering you. Matter of fact, if you ain't going through nothing, there is a chance that you closer to the devil than you are to God. And he ain't got no reason to bother you because you're right where he wants you. Let me get into my text. Let me get into this text. By the time you get to Psalm 133, you find that not only the tone changes, but the writer changes. And so in Psalm 133, you find David picking back up the pen and taking charge of this narrative. And watch it. The Bible says that when he gets here, the focus has shifted now from getting to church to focusing on how we should act when we get here. See, the last writer was saying stuff like, you know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. And so now David picks up the mantle and say, now that we on our way, let's talk about how we should act when we get there. I love it. I love it. Because David understood that stuff was only going to go right if when they got in the church, they were on one accord before they got there. See, David, I love this text because most of us think that this writing is written as a command or an affirmative, but David writes this writing as an inquiry. He's beginning to wonder out loud how good it would be, how good it could be if black folk decided to get along. Can I say it like that? He wonders how good it could be. He's wondering about the possibility turning into a reality. And listen, I sympathize with Brother David because I've had some days in my own church. I know it don't happen in Macedonia. Everybody love each other. Everybody get along. Don't nobody talk about nobody. Everybody hug and high five. And they check on each other, love each other, call each other. I'm in the right church, right? Y'all don't have none of the members over here. But the church I pastor, it's some people there been going there all their lives and don't like each other. Been going there 30 and 40, 50 years and don't even talk to one another. Live next door to each other, down the street from each other. Children know each other. Children married to each other and they don't know how. I know y'all can't say amen to this because it don't happen over here. But you do know that it's a whole lot of folk that come to church and don't like the folk they sit next to. So some of us manage to come together for everything. We rally together for equal rights, rally together for raises on the job, rally together for neighborhood watch. But for some reason, we can't come together for the cause of Christ. How is it that we can talk about Miss Justice everywhere but in the church? How is it that we can love everybody outside of here but come in here and act like we don't know each other? David says how good it could be. Oh, I feel pretty good now. How could it would be if we would manage to get along? See, I knew y'all was going to get quiet because you sitting next to somebody you don't like. I knew you wasn't going to say amen because you serving with somebody you don't like. I knew you couldn't say something because some of y'all roll with people you don't like. You woke up the individuals that y'all looking at me funny. But the Bible said it's a beautiful thing when we can get together. That David poses this suggestion. That it could be a great thing if we managed to get together. Watch it. And this text is powerful because not just coming together, but he says dwelling together. And see, dwelling is a powerful thing. Dwelling means we hanging, we moving, we're serving, we're gathering, we're coming consistently. We getting along when we get here. We're serving on the same ministries and keeping our focus on the master and not the mess. We're coming together to get the gospel, not to spread the gossip. He said, how good it could be if we manage to dwell. That means to settle down, to settle in, to come together and actually live amongst one another. I love it because David had enough experience with folk to know the struggle of getting along. And he also understood the benefit of being on the same team. You don't believe me? David had to serve Saul, and Saul didn't like him. But because he was the king, he had to continue to serve him until the Lord put him where he wanted to be. Can I just bother you real quickly? I'm going to jump back into this text. You do know the Bible never said you had to like nobody. But he says, a new commandment I give unto you is that you. Look, I knew it was a couple Bible students in here. He said that you love one another. David loved God enough to love Saul despite Saul's anger and jealousy toward him. Let me help you in here, child of God. You do know you ain't gotta like me, but love God enough to love me. If you love God enough, you can look past the like and focus on the love. I wish it was some real people in here. You do know that when you love folk, then the foolishness won't bother you. See, some of us, we don't get this thing, but you do know it's not big issues that tear up the church. It's the little stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We can't decide what color we gonna wear. We can't decide if we're going to march in or just walk in. We can't figure out if we're going to sit on the back pew or the front pew. We can't decide which song to sing. Can I help you in here? Sit wherever it's an open seat. If the Lord put a walk in your spirit, walk. If he put a march in your spirit, then march. It don't matter how you get here and do what the Lord has called you. I got to get ready to go. David, he reminds us of this powerful principle that division leads to demise. The Bible says it so clearly. It says that an unstable man. Y'all following me? When you can't decide one way or another, when you can't get along on the simple stuff, it will cause you to have a great drift and divide. You do know that a house divided can't stand. You don't believe me? Ask a couple that don't live together no more. Ask them how well their relationship is going. Ask a child who ran away from home how well their relationship. Y'all ain't gonna help me in here. Division will lead to demise, but unity leads to eternity. I gotta get out of here. Watch it. I'm not mad at David because David makes a point about how good. Good is desired and approved of. Good is morally right and righteous, free from defects, conforming to a standard of virtue. He said, good. And then he turns around and says, pleasant. Pleasant. Pleasant means pleasing to God, enjoyable, having a sense of satisfaction or enjoyment, sharing the qualities that tend to give pleasure both to you and to God. That David understood that it was morally right to come together. It was spiritually right to come together. It is God's desire for us to come together. It is pleasing unto him when we are together. I wish I had some church folk in here. Let me just help you. David wonders out loud how good it would be if we gathered together in righteousness. If we gather together free of defects, enjoying the virtuous love of God, being pleasing unto him, how pleasurable it would be for us if we got along. Can you just do me one favor? I ain't gonna bother you, I promise. But can you just look at your neighbor and say, us? Us is a powerful thing. It's two small letters, but it got a big meaning in it. Us means come together. It means not working individually, but having the same thought, the same motive, the same mindset. He says, together. Watch this. Can I tell you that David understood that there was some power in this thing? He said, not only is it pleasing to God if we come together, he said, but when we come together for the right thing, that there is something unique that takes place among us. He says, come together in unity, which means to be joined together as a whole, not being operative in multiple directions, but going in the same place, moving as one, operating in one single mind and purpose. David is trying to get us to understand that there is power and purpose connected to the unity. He says how good and how pleasant it is when we come together in unity. See, we come together for foolishness, but we won't come together for unity. We come together and march for rights for people who don't even know who they are. I bother y'all on that another day. They don't know if they man, woman, boy, or girl. They just identify with whatever feel like that day. We'll march for that, but we won't march for the master. David said, come together in unity. Let me find my way out of here. Can I tell you, when you have an understanding of unity, then you will understand that unity releases the anointing. This text is powerful. It says that when they came together, that the anointing begins to flow. Text says that it flows as an oil that flows down Aaron's face into his beard, into his garments. What this literally means is that when we come together in unity, the anointing will flow from the top straight down. And everyone connected to the top will catch it. Are y'all in here? When you're connected, it will flow from one to another and to another and to another. I don't know about you, how you feel about it, but I'm waiting on the church to get back to a point to where they catch on fire. See, we want to come to church and look good. We want to come to church and sit pretty. But can I tell you, when I come to church, I look for the anointing to fall down upon us. I know we're afraid to talk about the anointing in the old Baptist church, but can I tell you, it's the anointing that put the fire in the Baptist church. He says, if we come together, I'm going to find it in a minute. He says, when we come together, the Lord releases his power, not just through one person, but through all of us. You ever notice it seemed like some folk got it when they get here, and some folk don't catch it till they get home? But when the anointing falls, it falls on all. Oh, shucks, I almost lost it right there. It falls on all of us. We're able to witness it all before we leave here. Can I tell you, if we work together, the Lord has no problem releasing the oil down upon us. When we're not working as individuals, but working as a team, the Lord shows up in the midst of our teamwork. If we will work together, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it will fall down upon us. Can I tell you, it's some powerful thing, Lord, yeah, about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, because I heard, that the Holy Ghost, it destroys, the yoke of the enemy. What that means is, the Holy Ghost, it destroys, the traps and snares, that the enemy, has set for us, the anointing, it breaks the shackles, the anointing, it breaks the chains, the anointing, somebody say anointing, the anointing, is what fixes homes, the anointing, is what fixes marriages, I need the Lord, to let the oil fall, fall fresh on me, can I tell you, it's the anointing, when the anointing falls, the sinner runs, away from their sin, when the anointing falls, alcoholics put down the bottle, when the anointing falls, crackhead put down the needle, when the anointing comes, the sinner comes to the Christ, and say, what must I do, to be saved, I gotta leave you now, but I need the anointing, to fall, fresh on me, can I give you my last point, the Bible says, in verse number 3, that it flows, oh Lord, it flows, downward, by the end of verse 3, it says even forevermore, good morning Macedonia, I gotta leave you now, but this the anointing that's carried this church for 99 years, and it's the anointing that's gonna carry it 99 more years. My Bible said it flows even forevermore. What you trying to say, preacher? The anointing it don't have an expiration date. The anointing it's not limited to time or space. But it flows from heart to heart. And breast to breast, there is power in the anointing. I gotta go now, but can I tell you this morning, you can't get the anointing until you accept the Son. My Bible said it was one Friday, it was a peculiar day, they were releasing sinners and crucifying saviors. It was a peculiar Friday. They took my Jesus, marched him up on a hill. They took nails and drove them in his hand. They took a spine, they drove it in his feet. They took a spear, they stuck it in his side. I'm not mad about it. I used to be mad when I thought about what they did to my Jesus. And then I remembered it had to happen. He had to give up the ghost. He had to sacrifice his life in order for the anointing to flow. He had to bleed. He had to die so that I might live. He dropped his head in the locks of his shoulder. And he died just like it said he would. They buried him in Joseph's new tomb. But I didn't mean to holler like that. Sunday morning, he got up from the grave. And when he got up, he had all power in his hand. And with those hands, not only flowed power, but it flowed the anointing. He told his disciples, I gotta go now, but all power of heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore, that go ye therefore was his transfer rule of the Holy Ghost off of him and down unto the disciples. Good morning, y'all. But can you do me one favor and just tell your neighbor, I want it, I need it, the Holy Ghost to fall on me. Anybody here want the Holy Ghost? Look on up to heaven and say, Lord, send it down. Lord, send it down. Let the Holy Ghost fall upon me. I love the Holy Ghost. It leads you and it guides. It's got power and it's helping save souls. I love the Holy Ghost. Can I say it like my grandmama? It's moving all over me. I got it. Yeah, I got it. It is the Holy Ghost. Pastor Twyman, a pastor told me one time, he said, don't tell my members to shake each other's hand. Say, don't tell my members to high five one another. I apologize to him. Say, I didn't mean to upset you or frustrate you. I said, but the scripture said that when we're unified, when we're connected, that the spirit would flow. I was just trying to get them to touch each other. And the ones that had the anointing, it will fall down to the next one. Because I believe that is moving. I believe that is moving. If we would just share it with one another, I believe that the Holy Ghost would move from me to you. And before we knew it, it'd be all over the room. Because it's some power. It's some power. It's some power in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? I promise you I'm done. I got to go preach. Can I tell you something? I pray this bless you. Stop being so afraid of the Holy Ghost. Stop being so afraid of the anointing. When you find yourself afraid of the anointing, that means you're afraid of God. The Bible says we ought to fear him, not be afraid of him. That means we ought to have respect and reverence for him. We ought to be looking for him to move in our lives and on our behalf. The Holy Ghost ain't nothing to be afraid of. We ought to be looking to accept it when it shows up. Can I tell you, we shouldn't be so antisocial. We should be wanting to communicate with our neighbor so that what we got can go to them. Some of what they got can fall on us. I pose the question like David, how good and how pleasant it is when we come together in unity. Can I tell you something? Matter of fact, I challenge you. I double dog dare you. The Bible says you can't try him and see. I double dog dare you to challenge the Holy Ghost. I dare you to come in here ready for it, looking for it, expecting it. And when it show up, lock hands with your neighbor and watch it flow. I gotta go. Watch it. And watch it flow. For you know it, it'd be all over the room. I miss church like that. We sang, shouted, preached, prayed, and then allowed the Holy Ghost to have his way. It's my prayer, Macedonia, that you allow the Holy Ghost to show up in this place. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.